the Lord graciously lead us as we turn again to the prophet of Isaiah, chapter 40 and at verse 5. Book of the prophet Isaiah at chapter 40 and at verse 5. The glory of Jehovah shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And we sought in great consciousness of impotence and insufficiency to look at the opening words, the great theme that is set before us, the glory of Jehovah. What a theme, my friend. What a holy theme, and a great theme. And yet, it hath pleased Jehovah to set before us here in this truth, the glory of the Lord Jehovah shall be revealed. So I want to pass on a little further this evening, and stepping slowly and prayerfully, I would seek to notice the next declaration. Shall be revealed. For whatever this glory of Jehovah is, and it's certainly exceedingly abundantly beyond either all that we have tried to express or can conceive in our minds, but it shall be revealed. And so we have to face this in the form of a question: how is this to be revealed? Well, again, let the scripture be our guide, as it can only be, as I trust at all times, in all matters, but particularly in such matters as this. How is the glory of the Lord Jehovah to be revealed? Well, I feel first of all, and shall we begin as we only can begin as poor mortals at the beginning of time, for the mind cannot pierce and fathom into eternity past. And I feel, first of all, that we need to go back, as the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and has been revealed in the glory of his power in creation. Don't let's underestimate that. For God didn't. If only to look at the closing words of the first chapter of Genesis, to see as Jehovah looked down upon it. And the Lord saw everything that he had made, and it was good. And remember, that goodness must be according to heavenly standards. Nothing short of it is worthy of the name good. Jehovah looked down in the perfection of his infinite and eternal mind, and according to the standards of his perfection, and he constituted the whole of his handiwork to be good. This, of course, is before the third chapter of Genesis, where sin came and marred. But what power is manifested, whether we go back to the beginning of it or consider it even at the present time. You've all commented, every one of you, I expect, over the conditions of the past week and the conditions today. And you've all said something of this kind in the substance of it, if not in the actual words. Isn't it marvellous? It's all gone. where's the power of man that could clear all that snow away in a few hours? Where's the power of man that could bring it down in the first place? Where's the power of man that could do anything in relation to it? Power belongeth unto God. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed in relation to his power in his creative works. I can remember many years ago now, the first time, I'm not a countryman, I'm a Londoner, but the first time I looked out of a window where I was staying and saw the country covered with snow. What a picture. Oh, I know you can stand and shiver with the cold, but I say, what a picture, friend. Did you ever stand and marvel at the power that could bring it about? As every little flake of snow gently falls and accumulates, the glory of Jehovah. You haven't seen the glory of the Lord in the past week, have you? No, you haven't seen the difficulties. And I say you, I mean myself included. We've thought of the difficulties of getting here and getting there. We thought of the troubles and all perhaps of the expense it's going to be put to. Have you seen anything of the glory of the Lord? No, we dwell in the midst of it. And we don't see one whit of it. Not one whit. Somebody only said this morning before the service, why the little snowdrops are already pushing through the snow. Consider the lilies, how they grow, said Jehovah. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet Solomon in all his glory, same word, but a different person. Solomon in all his glory is not arrayed like one of those. Not one. Creation. Have you ever thought of his creative works as you look at yourself? Of course you can't look inside, I know. Do you ever think about it? I can't profess to know much about anatomy, but I do know this, my dear friend, in my poor puny little knowledge, that I eat, and what I eat, in a strange, mysterious way within my being, is segregated, and some goes to make bone, and some goes to make blood, and some goes to make flesh. Who does it? Somebody's saying, well, I thought we're going to hear the gospel preached. Well, if you can't see any gospel in this, my dear friend, then I'm sorry for you. For this is the handiwork of the infinite. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. The psalmist saw it when he looked at himself. And when he saw, as it were, his members, when as yet none of them were fashioned. Oh, he said, the wonder, the wonder. It reminds me of the little child. You know, it's amazing what comes from the lips of a little child. The dear servant of God I know very well indeed. Some of you know him too. One of his children, they're grown up now and both married, but when they were little tots, before they were old enough to attend the house of God, and mother had to stay at home on the Lord's Day evening with them. And sitting there at home while father was in the chapel preaching, the little girl looked up and said, Mother, you've always told us that God made everything. Yes, my dear, God made everything. And after a little lapse, did God make this? Yes, my dear. Did God make that? Yes, my dear. And after a number of things, there was quite a longish silence, and then the child said, Mummy, Did God make flies? Yes, my Lord. And there was an even longer pause and an even longer silence. And then, without looking up at Mother, the poor little child's mind was going round and round and round, and she said, "What a fiddly job." And that poor child had conceived the majesty of heaven, making the wings and making the feet and making the head and then putting them together. But the fly, God made it. Creative power. And you and I, beloved, haven't yet stopped to think about it. But remember, the book says all things were created by him and for him. And God has created you and I and placed us in the sphere. What of? The world? In the sphere of his eternal appointment. Creation. You've heard me say it, or at least hinted, I believe I've said it here. If I haven't, well, it doesn't matter. I've certainly said it at different times. You were not created at the wrong time. This is the glory of the power of the glory of Jehovah that is being revealed, and he in his eternal purpose ordained that my poor soul should be blessed with his grace at a given time in a given sanctuary through a given text, through a given servant of his. But I wasn't there. I wasn't created. There can be no mistakes, my dear friend. No mistakes. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed in its power. And power belongeth unto God. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, sin here? My way is hid from the Lord. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? Ah, friend, have we heard it? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. He didn't impart power where it wasn't needed. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that are weak he increaseth strength. And so on. Young men may utterly fall in the vigor of their life, they may utterly fall. Sorry. Power. The glory of the Lord should be revealed in power. But what about his majesty? Have you seen his majesty? I don't mean the effects of it, I mean the majesty. The ruling, reigning power. Time forbids, neither is it necessary, I hope, to go into little details. For where is there anything under the canopy of heaven that is not under his complete power? I've referred to the little snowdrop. It couldn't grow without his power. The snow couldn't fall without his power. You couldn't live one moment longer without his power. And though you may fight with hand uplifted high and with all the weapons that satanic power may produce, and spend all your time fighting against God, you'll bow before his power in due time. For when he comes in sovereignty and majesty and says, "Thou shalt die, die thou must." It's in the book. He taketh away their breath. Psalm 107. He taketh away their breath. They die. You're enveloped in it, my dear friend. It matters not, though, God, to open your eyes to see the solemnity of it. It matters not whether you acknowledge him or not, my dear friend. You're the subject of it. You're the subject of it. And the very fact, my dear friend, that you live from day to day, and that your mind, your physical frame, your capabilities develop as they do, according to his power. Yes, majesty. He doeth as he will in the armies of heaven and amongst the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? Majesty, not dictatorial, oh no, not cruel tyranny, but majesty, enveloped in power. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. You and I have seen something of the display of it. When it rains, my dear friend, you can't stop it. And when it doesn't rain, you can't make it. Oh, I know they've been up in aeroplanes and they tell us they made it rain. Well, of course, a man finds a few bones away in some little corner and he says, they're the bones of a man that lived 3 million years ago. Who's going to deny it? He might have said 6 million years ago. He might have said 3,000 million years ago. It wouldn't make any difference. Wouldn't make a difference. Majesty. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed in these things. And what about his perfection? We've looked very, very briefly at something of the perfections of his work. The maintenance of it, apart, of course, from sin. What about himself and his person? What have we here? All nations before him are as nothing. And they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? Whom then will ye liken God? The incomparable in his perfections. Perfect in his being, perfect in all that he does, perfect in all that he has planned, perfect in everything that emanates from him. Here is some conception of it as Jehovah puts the question, to whom then will ye liken Jehovah? Or later down, to whom then will ye liken me? Perfection. A man is talking about perfection. Before he started, there was imperfection. The very materials that he uses are imperfect. You can't bring a clean thing out of an unclean, says the word. Whether it be in relation to the matter I've referred to, or whether it be in relation to man as the sinner. Here is perfection. Here is the revelation of the glory of Jehovah, as revealed here. But I must hasten, the time runs on. It is to be revealed in the person of his Son. 2 Corinthians 4 and 6 may be our guide in relation to this, to quote only one passage amongst many others. And here there is a linking And I like the way that Jehovah, the Spirit of God, links together. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, the first creation, has shined in our hearts, what for? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of Jehovah in the face of Jesus Christ. That's where you'll have the revelation of it from. You'll see it in his works, but if you would see it in its fullness, you'll see it in his dear Son. For remember, Paul again in the Colossian epistle reminds us that all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him. All the fullness. The things we have, or the avenues that we have traced, and thousands of others that could be traced, it's all in him. He has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of Jehovah in that meeting. That's what you'll see. And you'll see it best, my dear friend, as a poor sinner, as you climb the hill that leads to Calvary. Yes, the glory of Jehovah shall be revealed. But what of the gospel, friend? What of the gospel? Is there a glory in the gospel? Is there the glory of Jehovah in the gospel to you? Or is it something that's irksome and irritable, friend? Something that to your conception is old-fashioned and out of date? But that is the terminology that is used today. We've got to change it. We've got to bring it all up to date. Let me remind you that Jehovah calls it the glorious gospel. The glorious gospel. The gospel of glory is the designation of Jehovah himself. Let's have the scripture, for it's far better to have the scripture than ourselves in this matter. 1 Timothy 1:11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Oh, my dear friend, have you learned something of the glory of Jehovah revealed in the gospel? For if you have, you'll know something of the real meaning and the responsiveness of the heart as you're enabled to stand and sing how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in the believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, drives away his fear, the glory of the gospel. But let's gather it all up, can we? Shall be revealed in his grace. In his grace. Wondrous grace of God. I don't wonder we have the repetition at the end of several of the epistles. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. How many times have you used that expression? What do you mean by it? As you say to some soul, the grace of the Lord be with you. What do you mean by it? 2 Corinthians 12:9. And here is the word that speaks, and speaks as only heaven can can reveal it. And he said unto me, this is a needy soul. This is a person whose need cannot be met with elsewhere. You know the need, I needn't dwell upon it. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient grace of course that stretches to the uttermost ends of the earth. Grace that in itself is another theme of amazing heavens unfolding. I'm not going to even tarry to mention the aspects of it. But the glory of the Lord shall be revealed in it. And friend, if the word of the gospel has come to your poor soul with power, you've felt a little of the glory of the Lord if you haven't been conscious of it. The glory of Jehovah that should have deigned to apply his word to your unworthy soul. The glory of Jehovah shall be revealed in his grace. And what about the blessed gift of hope? Oh, yes, I do. I tarried, my dear friends, and hesitate to differentiate between the measure of the glory of these things. I can only measure them, but a God-given hope. Oh, what a treasure. A hope that pierces through all the gloom. A hope that rests upon his holy word and can face every hope. Hope. The anchor of the soul is hope. What would you do without it, friend? For as I've said so many times, I can think more better of the negative than I can grasp the positive. What would you do without a living hope? What could any poor sinner do when sin becomes a burden? Without that bubbling up of a little hope, that there might be mercy with him to such a sinner as I, and it buoys you up and it carries you along and it lifts you up into the heavenlies in Christ. But the glory of the Lord is revealed there in hope, friend. You can't find it in nature's barren soil with all its perfections. Neither does it spring from man's conceptions or inventions. There's a lot of substitutions for this. You needn't worry about hope. It's all right. It's all right. Everybody's going to be saved at the end, so it'll be all right. Well, my dear friends, you don't need hope for that. My poor mind can grasp that. If it can't grasp anything else, if we're all going to be saved at last, there's nothing to hope for, is it? It'll come to pass somehow. Doesn't matter how, as long as we get there. Does it? Hope, my dear. Have you a hope in the mercy of God to see poor sinner? Have you a hope, saint of God, this evening for deliverance in that trial and tribulation and trouble through which you're passing? Is your hope centered upon the precious Christ? Then remember that there is a hope that is sure and steadfast, that enters within the veil and lays hold. Hope. The glory of the Lord is revealed in these things. And one other thought in this connection. The glory of Jehovah is to be revealed in the second coming of Christ. You may see it as enabled of the Spirit of God. We may be privileged to see it in many ways, to many degrees, some of which I've tried to mention a little, and countless others. But what when he comes? Why, this morning we reminded you of that night of old, at his first coming, when the glory of the Lord shone round about them. But when the Saviour of sinners comes the second time without sin unto salvation, he shall come in the glory of heaven. And then there will be the revelation. I'm not going to turn to scriptures, for they abound. But that'll be a blaze of glory, friend. It'll be seen then as it was never seen hitherto here below. Ah, he will not come then to suffer. He will not come then to fall into the hands of wicked men who should deal with him so cruelly. He will come then in the glory of his majesty, his power, and all the holy angels with him. Do you ever think about it? For it's certain. You may deny it. You may deny all that I have said this evening. It won't alter the fact of it. He's coming again. What a glorious morning that will be. Or be it midday, or be it in the midnight hour. For no man knoweth when he comes. He will come as a thief in the night, when you're not expecting it. Very forceful figure is that. You never expected the thief to come in the night, did you? When you woke up in the morning, you knew he'd been, but you never expected him. He shall come just like that. So we'll pass on, we'll come to that in a moment. But the glory of Jehovah is to be seen in the second advent of his eternal Son, when he comes to gather his ransomed people home. We've read this evening, and read it again, friend. Read it again and again and again, that 17th chapter of John. This isn't a sinner pleading for mercy. This is the infinite, majestic, co-equal with the Father, that is in intimate communion with the Father, praying for, not seeking for himself, praying for. Ah, my dear friend, and if you're the recipient of it this evening, my dear friend, carry the thought home. I pray for them. I could almost say I'd sit down having said that. Do you ever think about it? You cherish the thought, and rightly so in its place. I'm not underestimating nor disregarding the prayers of friends, brethren and sisters, relatives, when you say, well, I'll bear you up in prayer. But he said, I pray for them. And if you're among those whom the Father hath given to him, friend, you're included in that. Think of it. The glory of Jehovah revealed then. But he's coming again. He who prayed, and prayed that sublime prayer that we quoted this morning, we've read this evening, let's quote it again. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. That'll be glory. To be rid of this earth and all that it signifies, and all the pollution and all the corruption and all the defilement, to be with him, be glorious. But no, the hand of the Lord is never finished, friend, that they may behold my glory. And you'll see it then, friend. Not with these mortal eyes, as the hymn writer has rightly said, but to behold his glory. You long for it sometimes. Glory of the Lord shall be revealed. But I hasten on this a few moments only. And what of the remainder? What of the remainder? All flesh shall see it together. The word of the Lord never fails, my dear. The word here is its own interpreter. Doesn't need words of mine at all, hardly. All flesh shall see it together. That can only have one application, my dear friend. It certainly doesn't apply today, for there's only but a small remnant, and they can only see through a glass darkly. And the world seems to be vaster and vaster. I mean the world that is opposed to Christ. They don't see any glory, but they will. They will. Here's the solemnity of it. And you can't escape it, my friend, this evening, whoever you may be. It's embraced here. All flesh. And they shall all see it together. And then, my dear friends, it will not be through a medium, which is what we have been tarrying around through the day thus far. It will not be to see his glory here and there, either in his power, his majesty, and so on and so forth. But here it will be in the reality. All flesh shall see it together. And the mouth of Jehovah has spoken it. He who cannot lie has set it before us here within the span of his holy word. Here below, as we have tried in our impotence and ignorance and limitations today, the poor mortals as we are, we tried to see his glory in the works of his power. We tried to see it in the government of the universe and in the government of our lives and the government of everything else. Sought to see it a little through the medium of his love and the gifts that he bestowed. And remember, my dear friend, poor sinner this evening, if you've an aching heart on account of the sense of your need, there's the glory of the Lord in that. You never would have had a concern about your standing, my dear friend, if it hadn't come from him, and it comes with his glory. You might consider, as we have tried under the one heading that spreads out in the tributaries in all directions, to see his glory in the grace and in the gracious operations of his Spirit's power. But then it will be together. All flesh shall see the glory of Jehovah. Not through a medium any longer, but in the reality. And it's clearly testified, my dear friends, is it not? And let the scripture be our guide again in this as in all matters. Every eye shall see him, and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. That includes your tongue, friend, and mine. To what end? To the glory of God the Father. All flesh shall see it together. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Not one of his creatures will be exempt from this. All flesh, every eye shall see him, and they also who pierced him. And your sin that nailed him to the tree, my friend and mother, you'll see his glory then. But remember that having unveiled the glory of the triune God and having imparted to every eye to see it together, then there will be a separation. Then there will be a separation. For there will be a dividing of the sheep from the goats. Where will you and I stand then? For just as you cannot avoid seeing him in all his glory, so you cannot avoid his power, my dear friend. There will be those who will go into eternity of good. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared unto the others. Depart from me. I never knew. But those things that you have spent life, the span of your earthly sojourn, whether it be 70 years and 10, or whether it be 70 hours and 10, you've spent it in derision. You've spent it in discarding. Then you shall know his authority. When he then declares, depart from me, you'll have to go, friends, into everlasting woe. Clearly revealed in the Word, God has left us in no doubt of this matter. Oh, that it might solemnly exercise our souls, each one of us. My own. Ah, friend, it's easy to stand in the pulpit and to preach and prattle a few words, but how will it be in the swellings of Jordan? How stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear? Hast thou the proof within? I almost chose for our closing hymn, though I felt the Lord led me to the one that we shall sing, but there was that other hymn. When thou, my righteous judge, shalt come to call thy ransomed people home, shall I among them stand? Shall such a worthless worm as I, sometimes am afraid to die, be found at thy right hand? Does it concern you, friend? The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of Jehovah hath said, and God hath spoken. Let every man be silent. The Lord bless his truth to his own glory. But by the power of his Spirit, solemnly humble us in the consideration of these vital matters. embrace each one of us. For either it will be to be received up into glory, or to go down into hell. God has